I'm now going to describe one of Ratna Kato's meetings with Rinpoche. Ratna Kato has given me permission to use this material, and I hope it will help fill out a picture of him further. So Ratna Kato is a devotee of Chetra Rinpoche, and this describes his meeting with him in 2002. I was able to see Rinpoche one afternoon, just after he had taken a nap. In fact, he was sitting in his box-like bed having Horlicks and one or two biscuits when I was ushered into his room. This time, things didn't go very well. At least so I thought, and after the meeting I was very downhearted until the consort of Rela Rinpoche set me right. When one meets a Rinpoche, one usually offers a katha, a light silk or cotton scarf, which the Rinpoche usually returns, placing it around one's neck as a blessing. Now one, a tantric acquaintance, had told me that instead of buying a new scarf to be given and returned at every new meeting, he preferred to use the same scarf repeatedly. This way it gets charged with multiple blessings. I quite liked the idea of having a scarf twice blessed by Rinpoche, so I had taken the pale yellow one I had offered on my previous visit. I also had a long debate with myself as to whether to offer some money to Rinpoche. I wanted to give something, but I could offer little. I was very, very short of cash and wouldn't be able to give the monastery much when I left. But this was Chetra Rinpoche. I might never see him again. But then I knew he did not really need money. But that was not the point. Making an offering has its own value. Back and forth I wavered, pretty much right up to the Gompa door, and then decided against, from fear of shame. And of course I had gone with my letter and expectations, oh dear. Sarasvati, this is Rinpoche's daughter, said she was glad I had come back. I should have seen an ill omen in that. Oh dear, he says this a lot. For once, Rinpoche did not return the offered scarf, and so I lost one already blessed. And oh dear, oh dear. Sarasvati's translation of Rinpoche's response to my letter replaced five of his words with one of hers. Where he spoke about 10 long sentences, she translated 3 short ones. You should do the practice of red dakini, like this. While sitting cross-legged, Rinpoche raised his arms into the mudra of Vajravahi, skull cupped to his heart, flaying knife held aloft. You should become a monk, or you will continue to waste your time. Rinpoche looks sober. Rinpoche will pray for you. Full stop, end, oh my God. Okay, said Sarasvati, and out of the door I found myself heading. I reached the door at the end of the antechamber before a monk caught me and led me back into Rinpoche's room. Chetra Rinpoche was slowly counting out money. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, brand new 50 rupee notes and a grubby 10. He handed them to me. Sarasvati translated, this is for tea. And I fled. And fell into a depression. Rinpoche had known my mind, my petty little mind. That's why he hadn't returned the scarf. And that's why he had given me the money. This is for tea. He was showing me my meanness. I spent more on tea than on offerings. He will pray for you. I really am that bad. It's all he can do for me. And Sarasvati's translation, it was a plain and unmitigated disaster. The whole thing was a disaster. I was the most self-absorbed and little-minded person. I was nothing. It would have been better never to have gone. I must have looked pretty miserable by the time I got back to Rela Rinpoche's Gompa. Fortunately, Rela Rinpoche's kindly and perceptive wife asked how I was. When I told her my story, she replied, "Oh, you are very lucky. Rinpoche never accepts money from Westerners. If they push it on him, he throws it back in their face. No, if he gives you money, you are lucky, very lucky. He can see your mind. He knows what you are like. You must be very good." "You should take this money and never spend it. Take a little bit and buy food, and when you eat it, think and pray that his blessings are filling your whole body. You are very lucky." You can be sure that that made me feel considerably better. And when I rethought about the meeting, it seemed better too. Rinpoche had given me Vajravahi, unasked for, and with a symbolic transmission. He had blessed my aspiration to become a monk, and warned me, and would be praying for me. Best of all, Rinpoche had been able to read my letter and in Tibetan. I had written about my connection with Bante, some of my strongest experiences, and some strange connections with the tradition. That very day I had learnt the Tibetan word for very good, and had noticed Rinpoche using it repeatedly. I'll never know what he really thought, but I know that he read about me the most important things in my life, and I saw his response. And, of course, I had the money. I followed Sangimla's advice and imagined Rinpoche's blessings pouring into me as I ate a pot of curd one morning at Swayambhu.